Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
And I guess a white Christmas is out of the discussion here, right? That's off the table. No way it's going to happen.
Kind of makes me wonder if we're going to have a soggy Christmas because of all the melting.
There's barely any snow. There's the big pile, like where the plow kind of pushes it up in our cul-de-sac or whatever. And like, if you go to any mall or big shopping center, everything gets pushed into a location.
Some spots are taken because of that snow pile.
It also turns into that dirty, messy, black, white sort of, right? It's just kind of nasty looking. But some rain this week, and it might not be any snow here on the ground by the time Christmas hits. So, yeah, kind of a strange week of weather here as we approach Christmas. It is the beginning of Christmas week. And some big stories that we're following here this afternoon.
And now it's time for Three Big Things on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, increased incentives. Today, the Department of Homeland Security announced it is tripling the amount of money it's willing to pay non-citizens to leave the country voluntarily. They'll now get $3,000. CBS Homeland Security and Justice reporter Nicole Skagna has the new details.
The Department of Homeland Security is announcing it has tripled its exit bonus for undocumented migrants who voluntarily self-deport back to their home countries by December 31st. DHS says qualified participants will also receive free airfare to their home countries and be waived of certain civil fines or penalties tied to remaining illegally in the U.S. They must use the rebranded CBP Home app, according to DHS officials. That smartphone app is modeled off the Biden administration's CBP One platform. Nicole Skanga, CBS News, Washington.
While DHS says nearly 2 million undocumented immigrants have voluntarily self-deported, those numbers have not been independently verified. The agency also has not publicly released a breakdown of how many individuals took advantage of government-funded travel or stipends to leave versus those who just departed on their own.
Well, the Powerball jackpot now stands at an estimated $1.6 billion in advance of tonight's drawing. That's $1.6
billion. The fifth largest lottery prize in U.S. history. These players live in the Atlanta area.
I would be so less stressed if I had $1 billion.
I would probably buy Xbox.
My wife encourages me to buy a ticket because she wants to go on a big trip.
The biggest jackpot in the U.S. was more than $2 billion in 2022. That single winning ticket was sold in California. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
Yeah, Altadena, California. So California's had kind of a good run here. They're on a hot streak when it comes to wins in the lottery. Big lottery wins. The Golden State claims the largest lottery jackpot ever, just over $2 billion, as Jim pointed out, and the most wins for billion-dollar lottery jackpots. The first of its kind, by the way, 2016. If you're thinking this is like only new in the last couple years, oh no, almost a decade long we've had billion-dollar jackpots. Odds of winning, not good. 1 in 292 million, according to Powerball. Still, it's enough for someone to play. The winner can opt for that lump sum payment, and quick calculations go to about $735 million. One big fat check.
Are you going to play? Are you going to play?
If I remember on the way home, I will. I rarely have cash in my wallet. I think you have to pay, well, yeah, I guess you could do the debit thing or whatever, but I think you have to pay cash for most tickets when you buy them, right? I don't really have cash in my wallet.
You do, because you can't be like, put this on my credit card, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, I'm, you know,
yeah,
forget
no, I get
that
why
charge.
They do it.
I mean, they need to have the money because it's going in the pot.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get that. So I typically don't play, and I guess it's a result of not having cash. And I also drive an electric vehicle. I just don't go to the gas station all that often.
We don't usually play, but my husband for the last two has
pretty
bought
needy
one.
Here.
You know how many numbers we've gotten? I think one number on each, which gets you a big fat nothing.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Not even the money you spent on the ticket.
No.
Well, this could be embarrassing. Number three, the world's largest adult video site has been hit with a massive ransomware attack.
A group of hackers calling themselves Shiny Hunter is thought to have stolen more than 200 million pieces of data, 94 gigabytes altogether, on premium members of Pornhub, including account information, email addresses, and viewing histories. Cybersecurity site Bleeping Computer says Pornhub has been getting extortion emails from Shiny Hunter. No word on whether the site plans to pay up. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
This is a heavily used site. It has more than 100 million daily visits from around the world.
What do the premium users get? I think that's a discussion for another time. 113 on WTMJ. We've got Jim Ryan on standby here. $1 trillion being spent on Christmas this season, right? How much are you occupying of that? And are you a procrastinator? Well, now is your time to shine. It's 113.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Happy holiday.
Well, procrastinators unite. Now is your time. Now is the time to get in on all the festivities and the action of getting those Christmas gifts procured before the holidays. You know, Amazon may not get it to you in time. No, you may have to go out to the stores, and a lot of people are doing it. It is that time. We join ABC's Jim Ryan, who might be at a mall in Dallas. Jim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm okay. And you're right. I mean, anecdotally, at least, I've seen crowded shopping mall parking lots, people trying to get in there, get that last-minute item. Of course, the good part about that, Greg, is that if you buy it, you walk out of the store with it, you have it with you, take it home, wrap it up, and give it as the gift. You don't have to worry about extra delivery charges, maybe, because if you go online, you find that perfect item and it's a good price. You may have to pay more for expedited shipping. That's the catch-22 the procrastinator finds himself in.
Okay, so last night I was looking. I found something perfect online. I looked at the shipping. It was going to be an extra $30 to ship. Wow. And then it was coming from Canada and had a note about the tariffs, Jim.
You know, there are whole websites, though, dedicated to products made in the USA. So if you wanted to give a gift, even if it doesn't quite get there in time, you won't have to pay the tariff on it, at least. And so, yeah, you might want to go online, take a look at some of those places. At least you could avoid the tariff.
Yeah, we always talk about these massive spending years, right? $1 trillion going to be spent during the holidays this season. I would love to see the breakdown. How many dollars are spent between December 22nd and December 25th? Like, of the trillion?
Yeah.
What are we looking at? How many hundreds of millions are in those final few days?
Wow. I think you're right. I haven't seen that kind of breakdown. But after each of these holidays, after Black Friday and after Cyber Monday and after Spend Locally Saturday, you know, numbers like that are released. But I suspect that on this anti-penultimate day before Christmas, you're going to find a lot of spending going on. The average this year per person. So Greg mentioned that $1 trillion total, a one followed by 12 zeros, I think.
Wow.
That's what the National Retail Federation is anticipating will be spent between Black Friday and New Year's Eve, $1 trillion. But each person is spending a little less this year, according to the same outfit, the same federation, $890 spent per person. Sounds like a lot. It's still lower than last year. So how do we reach this new record high? Inflation. Things cost more. That's it.
Jim, is it too late to save money? Are there any real last-minute deals out there at this point?
Sure, you can find some. I mean, go online and here's the trick. Look for that specific item. First of all, make sure you know exactly what you're looking for before you walk either into the brick-and-mortar store or before you log into whatever retail site you use. And if you're looking for one specific thing, you may be able to find a bargain price on that. Otherwise, you're just kind of spinning your wheels. I don't know about you, Greg, but I mean, I walk into a department store or a shopping mall and my eyes just glaze over. I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm just kind of wandering aimlessly trying to find something. And it's a sinking feeling when that happens.
Yeah, I'd like to wear a GoPro cam and just kind of on my face or have somebody wear one looking at me. I noted a couple of years ago, we did this story about how consumers were spending on average about $1,000 per person, right, for the holiday season. And it sounded crazy to me. And then I started to add up what we did over the course of time. And yes, that number is somewhat accurate. But we've seen a decrease by a few hundred dollars in that pursuit. So I know inflation's a thing, but people may be trying to buy at times where things are on sale, maybe spread out that spend throughout the course of the year, or maybe just kind of go a little less expensive in general.
Sure, and retailers, you know, they know that that's the case, that you're going to wait and watch for that bargain price. And so they may discount something drastically in order to get you to make that purchase. But keep in mind, the price might not have been that much higher 6 months ago, right? There are ways to monkey with the numbers a bit to make a random item seem like it's a lot cheaper than it would have been otherwise. So be wary of that. I don't know how you can, you know, monitor an item. You can't watch items from month to month and week to week, but knowing that that bargain price is an actual bargain may put you a step ahead.
Jim, earlier you mentioned brick and mortar stores, and I'm curious this year where most people are shopping. Are some people going back to brick and mortar stores, or are more people shopping online? I'll tell you what, here in the Milwaukee area, we have at least one mall that's totally bucking the trend and always seems to be incredibly busy, especially around the holidays, Mayfair Mall. It's so hard to find a parking spot because so many people still go there. We have a couple other malls too, but then we have some malls that are just dead and have hardly any stores left in them.
Well, that's true, and it's sad to see that happen. And I think that's one reason that the people that you see an uptick in business there, it's nostalgic, right? The big shopping malls, the ones that are doing okay, they still have all the decorations out. The individual department stores do. And there's a feeling you get from walking around in a mall like that. And it's kind of nice. So there's that sense of nostalgia. Is it convenient? As convenient as going online? Probably not. Is it cheaper? Maybe, maybe not. But there is that one thing that you can't get from shopping online, and that's walking in and smelling the pine trees or seeing people carrying bags and boxes. And there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, totally agree, right? It can feel transactional at times if you're just kind of clicking around on Amazon and, you know, just ordering a pair of socks or something like that. But if you're out at the store, you're kind of in the season and sabbatting a little bit more.
There's nothing wrong with socks, by the way. You're talking to the people as well, not talking to the bots, the chat bots.
Yeah, no, I get it. I don't mind talking to either. Now, Jim, what's it, Regency Mall in Dallas, right? Is that where you're going to be plunked down here for the next 4 hours?
Oh, yeah. We'll make it work, I guess, and then finish up my shopping. Here's the other thing. If you can't figure out what to get for that person, you know, you're trying to find the perfect gift, just ask them. I asked my daughter the other day. I always try to get her something special, and I finally said, I don't know what you want. What do you want? She said, well, I like movies. How about a gift card to one of these chain movie theaters? And I said, perfect. So done and done.
Well, there we go. Cat's out of the bag. We know Jim's getting his daughter for Christmas. Jim, we appreciate it. Good checking in. Jim, we are so thankful for you each and every week when we're able to connect. I'm off for the rest of the week, so I'll say Merry Christmas to you and hope you enjoy time with the ones you care about the most.
Have a nice one. Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yep, you too. It's Jim Ryan joining us here from ABC. I am all done. I am like officially done.
Oh, you're good.
I feel like I don't like to procrastinate. We host for Christmas Eve, so there's a lot that goes into that, right? So everything now is focused on making sure we've got the stuff for when the people come over, right? So you get your areas set up, get your food set out where you want to set it out. Do we have enough serving stuff and all that? And there's a couple late-minute runs to the store, no doubt. But from a gift-buying standpoint, all set. Nothing. I have nothing to get.
That's so good. I feel a little more behind than usual. I think that's because we decided kind of on a whim to go to the Packers game in Denver the other weekend. We were doing something else one of the other weekends that kept us really busy. Then illness hit the house, so I feel a little bit behind. But ironically, when it comes to gifts, I really enjoy picking out the perfect gift for somebody.
Yes.
But I want the time to do it. Because I need the time to kind of zone in and to do a little searching. Because I'm very thoughtful about my gifts when I do that. I don't always have the time to do that. But when I have the time to do it, I love it. For my mom this year, I found a couple things that I just loved. And then I'm like, well, this is too much. Like, do I go this route or do I go this route? Do I have her birthday gift coming up as well? And do I just buy both? And actually, I did. I went ahead and I was like, well, I don't know where I'm going to store it, but I know I have her birthday gift, which isn't until October.
Jeez.
So I know, but
sit on that.
I loved it so much. There were so many things, like, and they were unique in different ways, and I don't want to say too much because she often listens, and even if she's not listening live, she'll, you know, listen on the podcast when she's doing something else. But yeah, I'll tell you what, too. I think if you are out there right now and you are procrastinating, I really think that going local rocks. I mean, think about the businesses too that are hurting right now.
Yeah.
So they would certainly appreciate it. And I just think that's great. I love local. And also experiences. I do really enjoy giving experience as well. And oftentimes you get to enjoy that experience with somebody and then that's good time together.
I love the local idea. One of my favorite gifts, and we have it on display in our house. I don't use it because I like it too much, but it's a Wisconsin cutting board. It's a really nice maple wood, but it's about an inch and a half thick. It was really nice.
Yep, those are nice.
And it's shaped like the state of Wisconsin. It's heavy. It's a beautiful display piece more than it is something that I'm going to, you know, cut cheese and sausage on. But one of my favorite gifts. I've looked for similar. I haven't found any as good a quality. But yeah, great idea. Local shop. I think it was purchased from the Milwaukee Public Market.
Oh, that's nice.
Down here. So yeah, great idea to go local.
That's funny that you say that because when I first moved back into town, one of my good friends from back in the day, back in high school, she gave me a slate Wisconsin piece. So it was, you know, like a cheese board, basically. Yeah. It's a beautiful slate. And I have it every single day out on my counter because it matches, it works, and it's just kind of a neat little piece. I love it.
What if people do that with Maryland? It just seems like that would be tough.
Or a warm Christmas.
No, keep dreaming, I suppose, is the response to that. Yeah, no, it's not going to be a white Christmas. That ain't going to happen unless you're talking about the giant pile built up maybe somewhere in your subdivision or the mall parking lot. That might be the only snow you see here on Christmas Day. So white Christmas, well, probably not. We welcome in Brian Nisnansky, chief meteorologist from TMJ4. I don't mind the warmer temperatures. I think my kids would like a white Christmas, Niz, but I'm cool with 45.
Yeah, I'm cool with it, too. I mean, nice and comfortable. I mean, I know there's obviously, you know, and rightfully so, people who want that winter wonderland for Christmas. I have some friends who, you know, originally from Racine, that one of them lives in Florida, and his wife is from, obviously, southern Florida, and, you know, they come up to see his parents, and they're hoping for, you know, a beautiful winter wonderland, and that's not going to be the case. But you're right. I mean, as far as travel and things like that, he still would probably take, you know, a brown Christmas versus a white enough Christmas that his flight doesn't get in. You know what I mean?
Right. And what are you seeing across the country? Because as we look at our forecast here, it looks pretty good. I mean, partly cloudy and mild many of the days. Looks like what Wednesday there's a slight chance for rain.
There is. And you'll continue to see these small rain chances on the forecast, but they're really not much. It's not like a time where you're thinking, okay, it's just going to be constant rain like on Christmas Eve. What we're looking at is a small chance for light rain showers Christmas Eve, a really tiny chance Christmas Day. I think more than anything, it's not going to be the prettiest, you know, temperatures in the 40s. I think we're going to have gray skies through much of this warm spell. So yeah, I guess that's another downfall. It'd be one thing if the sun was shining, it looked like springtime outside. But yeah, I think it's going to be kind of gloomy.
Yeah, the other thing I took note of here, Niz, is it's not just like a one-day pop here where we see 40 and it's like, ooh, where'd that come from? Now, there's like a sustained pattern here. What's driving it?
Yeah, it's constant. We have a huge ridge of high pressure that's centered to the southwest of us. And we're on the ridge of what would be, you know, a very similar pattern if this took shape in summer as a heat wave, where locations down towards Kansas, Missouri, you know, like St. Louis and over towards Denver, they're going to see temperatures all week long in the 60s and 70s. So they have like record-breaking heat there. We find ourselves right on the fringe of it. Last week, forecasting was very confident that Christmas Day we'd hit 50 degrees. Now kind of backing off on that a little bit. The models kind of keep us on right the fringe of this warmth. Still could happen. Just the chance of hitting 50 is looking less likely than what it appeared a few days ago. But still, well into the 40s and still well above average for us.
You were talking about some of the places across the country, and there's also that flooding in the West. At least one person has died due to flooding in Redding, California.
Yeah, when you get locked up in these patterns, so when you get a pattern that, you know, a place is consistently dry and warm, likely that evens out somewhere. And you have a trough that's out west, which when you get troughs in the upper atmosphere, not only does that mean cooler weather, but usually it means stormy weather. So they've been kind of, they got their atmospheric river thing going on in northern California. And it looks like that will be an issue here for the week. But when I look at the lower 48 for people's travel plans, yes, unless you're going out to the West Coast, sure, there might be some weak minor systems. But I think given being the end of January and being how, you know, sometimes this week can be, you know, snarl things up, I think we're in really good shape. I don't see big storm systems. I don't see big wind makers. I don't see big, you know, snowstorms or thunderstorm activity for that matter. I mean, there might be isolated spots, but nothing that's going to, I think, like break the grid.
You never know, right? Week to week, right? You had the deep freeze, and then we thawed out a little bit, and now we've got more of rain events here. Snow is melting, and it seems to be on the horizon for a minute. But I don't think anybody would be shocked, Niz, to have you pop on this program in a couple of days and say, yeah, January 5th, boy, I tell you what, it's going to be about 9, and it's going to be raw outside. Like, it's just the great fluctuation.
Yeah. Totally. So while we are locked into this pattern, you know, for the foreseeable future, you're right. At some point, we will turn out of this. It'll be my job here to be on my toes, you know, and to be able to pinpoint that turn the page again with the most advanced, you know, notice as I possibly can. But as of right now, I'm not seeing a huge contrast. We do cool a little bit into the weekend, but still looks relatively quiet. Temperatures above normal, and that trend continues into next week as well. So, yeah, look for some changes. We have a long ways to go with the winter, guys.
Brian, I've got to ask you before we let you go, with these mild temperatures and the melting, I was a little worried about one of Santa's buddies out on Moose Lake who was ice skating. What was that all about?
Yeah, someone sent a picture of a video in there. Now, Moose Lake is one of the smaller lakes out in Lake Country, and more than likely that ice is probably safe. Now, no ice is 100% safe ice. Even if we were in a stretch of middle of January where it's constantly cold, you get cracking. There's always a risk. So whenever anybody goes out there, there's a risk. This early in the year, I think there's a greater risk. Even though we had some recent cold just this last week, we were above freezing much of the week, and we've had some recent wind too. So you get cracking, you get some of that water to work up through the cracks. Again, you could have an issue. But my only suggestion with this, and I've been kind of actually arguing with a couple, you know, fishermen online, and they have every right to be like, hey, you know, I measured this much. It's good to go. You know, the one thing I'll say is you might measure 10 inches in one spot on the lake. And more than likely, if someone's fishing there, it's probably a spot that froze over first and has the most ice. Now, just because you measure 10 inches in one spot doesn't mean the entire lake is at 10 inches. So I just want people to make sure they're being safe, especially if they're moving around on their inland lake. I know they know their lakes more than I do personally. So, you know, but just make sure you're doing the diligence to make sure you're being safe out there.
And the more I look at this post now, actually, I kind of zoomed in, which I didn't initially do. At first, I was like, oh, he's got really cool ice skates on. But now I'm thinking, I don't know, maybe they're not ice skates. Maybe he's just out there in like tennis shoes.
I think they're skates. So the video I posted on Facebook, by the way, you can follow me on Facebook.
Oh, you got video. Okay. Then, you know, yeah. I'm just looking at this picture here.
Yeah. So there's a video of him. And he is skating around out there, and he's got an awesome Santa costume. And it looks like he's doing a great time, and I'm sure he had a wonderful time. And it's not my job. I'm not out there scolding people for being out on the lake. That's not my intent. My intent is to, you know, you get a great video like that, use it as an opportunity to raise awareness, to make sure that, like this gentleman probably was, taking the precautions and knowing the risk when you go out there.
I guess Santa had most of the gifts already wrapped for the kiddos. He let his buddy go. Like, sure, you want to go ice skating?
You
can have some time
off. Yeah, he was graceful out there. Looked good out there. You know those lakes aren't, like, necessarily Zamboni perfect ice rinks. So, it looked good. Yeah, I don't know. I'll be in and out of the office this week. I got a couple days now. I will be off for the holiday. But I'll be back sometime next week. I don't have like the full 2 weeks. I can't believe my kids. They got 16 days off.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
That's a lot.
Playing with
That's
the toys they're going to get from Santa.
Good stuff, Niz. We'll check in again later this week.
Thanks, Niz.
All right, guys. Yep, we'll see you.
Sounds good. 146 on WTMJ. I'm glad we're a little more removed from the Packers game rather than, you know, having the game be Sunday and then we got to talk about it on Monday. So a little bit of time to digest what happened.
For
and
the pushing.
A little bit of an assist thanks to Aaron Rodgers from yesterday. We'll dive into all that. Coming up at, 150.
Oh, you know, the tush push. That's what
yes, no, I
okay.
exactly
just
what
you're making
saying.
Sure.
Yeah, right, I
guess.
It's time for Pack Yak on Wisconsin's Midday News. Yellow, green, yellow, green, yellow, green, yellow.
Well, everything was going so well for the Packers Saturday night until it wasn't.
For a
right?
long
oh
time.
Oh, my God. It's just a brutal game to watch here. This
we're
going to
win. We're going to win. We're going to win. Oh, okay. I guess we're not going to win.
Officially a Monday version of Pack Yak here. Mm. And we'll spend a little time recounting what happened. But it just goes to show you can play well or better than your opponent for, I don't know, 56 minutes. And then in the final 3 minutes and then whatever length of overtime you experienced over the weekend, it can be enough for a team to come back on you. So what was amazing to me watching the game is that the Packers did not punt. They did not punt the football. They did not punt the football. And they still struggled to score. So they get into the red zone, right? They're very close to scoring within 20 yards of the end zone. And they fumble on the 5-yard line. Or maybe there's a turnover on downs. Like any one of a number of bad things happen. And it's all magnified when one of your better wide receivers screws up an onside kick, right? Anytime there's an onside kick, it comes at a point where, you know, the other team, the team doing the kicking, is desperate. Or maybe it's so close. We need to steal it back. We got to get back in our hands. So it's always magnified when the results of an onside kick goes south. We've seen that in Green Bay before. It happened in Seattle in 2014 in the NFC Championship game. Kept the Packers out of the Super Bowl. This botched onside kicks and a lot of other things that went wrong will likely prevent the Packers from winning the division. That's the reality of what happened on Saturday night.
Well, and here's the reality. We lost. But because I'd like to look on the bright side, can we just for a moment talk about how fun the game was
to watch in the beginning? Crazy.
I mean, even from the very start, first of all, it was so loud. There was almost an immediate flag right when the game started. You had one player who was like spinning down the field. Then you had the Bears guy who leaped on top of the group.
Yeah, on the kickoff.
I rewound that like four times because he just just jumped on top of the pile, and he was basically crowd surfing on the players.
Yes,
it
can't
was
do that.
Wild to watch. That's what I was thinking. So you had guys stacked up everywhere. Then the ball popped out. You got the flag, and then of course the one guy who did jump on top of the group and did the crowd surfing, he got called for unnecessary roughness. But that was in the very beginning. That's how it started.
But you're right. You know, if there was a chippiness to the game that made me hearken back to some of the days when the Packers were not very good and the Bears were, back in the Walter Payton days. These teams hated each other. I mean, they absolutely hated each other. But the Packers weren't very good. But there was still bitterness, right? You had a Packers defensive lineman body slam Jim McMahon, the quarterback of the Chicago Bears. He had a hit list, right? All the people that he wanted to take out of the game. And this is, late 80s football. So there was a little bit of that chippiness back, and I appreciate that. And the Bears are having a good year. They find a way to win, which is, I think, a part of the reason of their success. They don't give up, which is amazing. But the Packers outplayed Chicago. That was my takeaway. And that's why it's tough for Matt LaFleur to absorb what happened.
They all suck. How about that? I mean, it doesn't matter. That's why it's a week to week. It doesn't matter. I was proud of the way we played. I thought our guys competed. I thought we were physical. I thought there was a lot of good things we did, but ultimately we didn't close it out and we didn't make a play here, a play there. I mean, it was third and 20 and it's an unfortunate penalty, but we get a face mask that gives them a first down when the quarterback is under duress. So there's so many plays in there that, we do one thing a little bit different and we have a different outcome, but we didn't.
So they didn't, and the Packers maintained their spot in the number 7 position, the final playoff spot in the NFC occupied by the Packers going into next week or this week.
And we had the tie. Thought I was going to have to bust out for a tiebreaker right there, and then we go into overtime, first place on the line in the division. I mean, it was a wild game to watch. The other thing, too, the injuries.
Injuries are piling up here, right? So now you got to worry about the quarterback situation. Jordan Love leaves the game with a concussion. This is impossible
good.
To predict what is going to happen here, right? The practice window opens for the Packers tomorrow. Typically, Tuesdays are an off day, but because the Packers are playing on Saturday, Tuesday becomes the beginning of the practice week. I don't expect Jordan Love's going to do that much. I also don't expect Malik Willis is going to do that much.
He looked good, though, when he came out. And he was fast, and he was making moves.
He is full of calm, and I love that. Like, nothing ever looks erratic or rushed. Like, he's just in control, which I really appreciate.
He's done a hell of a job. I think we've all seen it, right? I mean, when he's gone in there, we've been able to move the football. We've won games with him as a starter, so we've got a ton of confidence in him and his ability to go in there and win a game if need be.
It's a pretty decent chance that Malik Willis plays on Saturday night. Jordan Love thing is hard to predict. It's a concussion. You don't know. You just don't know. But typically, or it's common anyway, for a player to miss at least 1 week when recovering from a concussion. All right, so here's what you need to know about the Packers' playoff chances. As it stands today, the Packers have a 92.7% chance of making the playoffs. They need a win. One of their final two games. That's it. That's all they need. Just one win. Beat Baltimore this weekend at home.
Let's do
or
it.
Beat Minnesota, who's been eliminated from playoff competition in the final week. A Detroit loss would also assist the Packers. Thanks to Aaron Rodgers, the Packers' playoff hopes today are much better than they were after that loss on Saturday night because the Lions hadn't played. Well, Pittsburgh, led by Aaron Rodgers, found a way to win in Detroit on Sunday evening, late afternoon, early evening. That was a death blow to the Lions. The Lions have a 7% chance of reaching the playoffs. They need to win here in their final 2 weeks. They also need the Packers to lose both of their games. So that is looking like a failure of a season in Detroit, and I could not be more happy about that. So the Packers are still in a decent position and pretty good chance they go back to Chicago for a playoff game if things kind of fall the way the numbers would indicate they're going to fall.
Well, and if that happens and we're going back to Chicago, hopefully it's not as windy because there were like play cards rolling around
the field. The kicks were crazy to watch.
And what the heck happened with their heaters? What was it on the offensive line bench?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
the heaters were out.
Malfunction.
And then so there were all these questions, well, like, okay, if the Packers' heaters aren't working, do you have to turn them off on the Bears' side? I thought that was a great question because I didn't know the answer to that. I was like, well, that seems kind of weird, but it also doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're running out there and their booties are cold, you know, advantage to the Bears.
Going to be a lot of cold booties if there's a January playoff game at Soldier Field, no doubt about that. But in two games,
in
the Packers
stands,
have
sure.
outplayed the Bears. And I would say 6.5 quarters of play. But the Bears were able to earn a win. They didn't give up. So credit to Chicago for being in the position they are. Packers with a little work to do, but not a ton of drama here. It's pretty clear what they need to do in order to be a playoff team.
Yeah, too many errors in critical moments. That was a heartbreaker for
sure.
No doubt.
No doubt.